A Double Bottom Line by Congressman Randy Forbes.
Years ago, with the invention of the now nearly obsolete cassette tape, the radio industry worried that this new invention would mean the death of their industry that had existed for nearly 60 years. Of course, many of us remember watching as the radio industry found ways to adapt to new emerging technologies. As we can tell by turning on the radio today, the industry actually outlasted the item that once threatened its very existence. Part of the reason for this success was the radio industry's willingness to adapt, take small market-based steps to approach the challenge, and work with consumers to eventually meet a larger goal of preserving the industry. This illustration can be applied to us as a nation. As society progresses, we will naturally encounter challenges that will cause us to reevaluate and take small steps to change our course if we want to continue as a global leader. Our success in meeting each challenge is largely the result of our approach in each challenge. Today, we face environmental challenges that are very real. We see that the Chesapeake Bay water quality, polluted by nitrogen and phosphorus runoff, has caused it to be listed as marine dead zone and has increasingly become more biologically imbalanced. We struggle to find an appropriate balance between the need for local landfills and the need for excellent air quality. In our communities, we struggle to build a nexus between construction that results from development and the preservation of our natural resources and wildlife habitats. We have real environmental challenges in our nation, in the Commonwealth, and in the 4th District. But it is our attitude of approach, whether as crisis or with hope, that will determine our ultimate success or failure in the area of environmental conservation. For too long, the political environment surrounding the issue of environmental conservation and preservation has been one-sided and divisive. But to reach important goals in renewing and protecting our environment, we must acknowledge the importance of environmental leadership in the U.S. for the preservation of our natural resources and for our global leadership, no matter what our political ideology. As consumers of natural resources, we have a responsibility to acknowledge the importance of being active stewards of our environment. The question then becomes not, do we do something about our environment, but rather, how do we best preserve and protect our environment? The proper protection of our environment will not happen if we have to do it at the expense of economic growth. Contrary to today's political rhetoric, environmental conservation and strategic economic development do not have to be opposing forces. We can and need to take an entrepreneurial, free market approach in protecting and enhancing our environment. Much of our economic success in America can largely be attributed to the abundance of natural resources that we have been blessed with as a nation. The role of the federal government should be to provide the amount of regulation necessary to set environmental standards while allowing enough room for market innovation. By encouraging companies to provide incentives for consumers who take steps to conserve, building partnerships between government and business in green efforts, and offering incentives to businesses and corporations who invest in new technology that is environmentally friendly, we are allowing the free market to dictate conservation innovation. Approaching the problem with realism rather than rhetoric offers our best chance to meet what is achievable but difficult, a double bottom line of good for our economy and good for our environment. Here is how we can achieve that. First, we must pursue science, not politics. We need to take a scientific approach to environmental research and development, not a political approach. By creating a commission of scientists who study environmental issues in the United States and make legislative proposals based on these studies, we are allowing decisions on environment to be made free from political pressure or agenda. Second, we must use new technology to our advantage. I'm convinced that our environment will benefit from the use of advanced technology. We should take full advantage of emerging technologies like modeling and simulation that allow us to model cities with green initiatives. We should offer incentives to corporations who update their equipment with more advanced technology as a means of being more environmentally friendly. By encouraging education in science and technology fields, we are sure to see students emerge in specialty fields like environmental engineering, thus creating a future generation equipped for the preservation of our natural resources. Finally, we must realize the higher issue of quality of life. Environmental protection and renewal is a part of a larger issue of quality of life. There is no reason we shouldn't demand preservation of our community's natural habitats and set an example to our younger generations that protecting the environment is an important priority. President Theodore Roosevelt once said, "To waste, to destroy our natural resources, to skin and exhaust the land instead of using it so as to increase its usefulness, will result in undermining in the days of our children the very prosperity which we ought by right to hand down to them, amplified and developed." Now more than ever, his words ring true. We can achieve a cleaner, safer, healthier environment for America if we show leadership in seeking higher standards of cleanliness and protection for our environment. And in doing so, we can achieve a double bottom line.
You've been listening to Congressman Randy Forbes of Virginia's 4th Congressional District. For more information on this and other issues, please visit us on the web at forbes.house.gov.